Good morning. It's good to be with you. It's a joy to gather. I always love Christ's minimum requirements. Where two or three are gathered, there I am. So we're doing a little better than two or three, but it's good to be together. My wife and I have had the joy of having a little bit of time off to recharge, and you know, we spent some wonderful time with family. All our kids and grandkids gathered together. It was wonderful, and we spent some time with friends and in God's beautiful creation, so we are grateful. I want to thank Mike Goheen for preaching last week. That was a real gift that he filled in and did some wonderful teaching on this book of Ecclesiastes that we're busy taking a look at. And that's what we're going to get into. Today's passage is spoken by someone older. Last week, Mike referenced being 65, so he's way older than me. I'm 64. And today's passage is written, therefore, is by an older guy, 65 or older. The teacher in Ecclesiastes, that Eugene Peterson often referred to as the quester, has tried a lot of ways of milking meaning out of life. He's tried pleasure and work and ambition and education, and he keeps concluding the same thing. It's chasing after wind. It's grasping at vapors. That's what he means by the word meaningless. Whenever you read it, you know, when he says it's meaningless, he's saying that as an anchor to your life is not a meaningful anchor. It's meaningless. It's that way, chasing after vapors. And then he keeps talking about the fleeting nature of life. He refers to death quite often as well. He says, before you know it, you're old and weary. Can I get an amen? Right. Yeah. There's a few of us who are feeling that way sometime. A writer named Walker Percy wrote, living in the past and living in the future is easy. Living in the present is like threading a needle. Living in the present is like threading a needle. And that's what the teacher wants to emphasize. Live these short days with meaning and intent. Thread that needle. The teacher, he's at the end of his life. He's tired. He's reflecting. He's kind of regretful about some of the choices he made. And he's talking to those younger than himself. So let's jump in and see what does he say. Look at it with me. Ecclesiastes 11, we're going to read from verse 7 to Ecclesiastes 12:8. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. In other words, right, it's that if you're going to build your life on whatever's coming or whatever you're in, it's meaningless because you're trying to grasp onto something that's a vapor. You who are young, be happy while you are young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart. Cast off the troubles of your body. For youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars will grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When people rise up at the sounds of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond trees blossom and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground from which it came, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. He's saying that there are seasons of life, and you have no idea how long your life will be. You can live those days well. You can enjoy those days that God gives you. But remember, and then he said, the days of darkness. It always sounds like he's kind of saying, hey, enjoy life, and then he's kind of messing with us and saying, it's going to be dark. Right? It's almost like you're being pulled in two directions. But he's trying to remind us, enjoy your life with an eternal perspective in mind. There will be days of darkness, and all of us can attest to that. There will be hardships. There will be troubles. I think of Jesus' words in John 16, where he says, I have told you these things, the things that we read of in the gospel, so that in me you may have peace. Notice where the anchor is. In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. And I think we need to live with that eternal perspective, and that's really what this is talking about time and again. You will struggle. All of you know that to some degree already. And with age, those struggles will increase in some ways. Physically, mentally, right? They will increase. And your perspective will change. Hopefully, it will deepen in many ways. Death and aging are the great equalizer, really. Right? Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter who you are. Death and aging are a great equalizer. And then all our self-sufficiency, all our self-made selves wither and disappear. I think it's one of the big struggles as I grew older too. You know, I was really involved in a lot of athletics, and it was part of who I was, right? Tennis, hockey, squash. It was a joy to compete and a joy to win. I enjoyed that. Those days are largely gone. And now I have to settle for pickleball. And I blew my Achilles out doing that. So, yay 2020. But anyway, that's another matter. So yes, he's saying, you know, you are going to get older. All this is going to disappear. So enjoy the gift of a healthy body. Enjoy the gift of that strong athletic body. Enjoy the happiness of being young. That's a good thing. That's a gift from God. Notice it is a gift to enjoy life, a gift from God. I think I've heard too many people tell stories of growing up in very strict families where if you enjoyed something, it was probably wrong. That's sad. That's sad. The writer of Ecclesiastes, even with all the things that he struggled with, one of the themes throughout the book is God gave you life. Enjoy it. It's a gift. Enjoy it. Just keep your perspective in place, right? And this is the theme. He said that right away in this chapter. He says, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. That's pretty comprehensive. However many years you got, enjoy them all. Does that mean it's all going to be easy? No. So what does enjoyment mean? That's a whole other question here. I was reading other passages. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. I read it out of the Living Bible. Backing up a little bit here, where he writes, so I decided there was nothing better for a man to do than to enjoy his food and drink and his job. And then I realized that even this pleasure is from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy apart from him? Right? No matter what you enjoy, it's a gift from God. We need to remember that. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, and you know, self-made, arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provide us with everything for our, and here's the word, enjoyment. God has given you a lot of things to enjoy. But then notice what he adds. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So there's this definition of enjoyment, which is bringing joy, which involves giving and participating in other people's lives, so it's not just living a self-centered life. Enjoy the life God has given you. You might have somebody say, well, okay, so I can go for it. I can choose whatever I want. And you want to say, have you been listening to the series of Ecclesiastes? Because that's the teacher did that. Remember, he said, and he described it this way, he said, I deprive myself of nothing. I held back on nothing. I did whatever I felt like. And he concluded, it's all meaningless. None of it was a place to anchor my life on by any stretch of the imagination. All the work, all the sexual pleasure, all the whatever, right? There was no deep meaning to build my life upon. Here's the point. Life is a gift. Enjoy it. And then the line, as you walk with your Creator. As you walk with your Creator. When we pursue the wrong things with the wrong desires, the result is a lack of joy. It just is. There's no getting around that. To quote the great theologian Mick Jagger, I can't get no satisfaction. Right. I can't get no satisfaction. Well, that's right. That's right. You can't get no satisfaction apart from God. Deep, anchored satisfaction. It doesn't happen without God, your Creator. Here's a scary thought. Ultimately, you become like that which you worship. Like that which has your focus and your heart. If you worship pleasure and sexuality, you will become perverted along with your desires. If you worship money and success, you will become greedy and self-absorbed. And you will pursue things rather than God. Trying to find meaning outside of God is meaningless. It's chasing after wind. It's grasping at vapors. That's the point of the whole thing. One of my favorite verses when the psalmist writes, delight yourself in the Lord, and then God will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and then what's the result? God will give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you what you really want. Everybody's after what they really want. Just not too many people know what they really want. They think they know. God has given us desires. He has given us passions. And he wants us to live out those desires and passions. And those are powerful and pure desires. Let me illustrate this. Look at Ecclesiastes 9:9 as an example. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. You can say husband as well. Whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. That always sounds so negative, doesn't it? Honey, I'm going to enjoy all my meaningless days with you. Right? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, enjoy your wife. Enjoy your spouse. Yes, do that. But do that not as an anchor to what all meaning is about. But as a gift of God. There's a big difference there. Some people make their marriages what they worship. That's not what God's saying either. God is saying, I've given you a partner in life. Enjoy that partner. Spend time together. Love each other. That's the point of why I put you together here. But remember, God is still God. And this whole idea of sex, too. You know, we live in a... The teacher, he wrote that, enjoy your wife. He wrote that after experiencing all the sexual pleasure he could imagine. Right? He said that was meaningless. That was empty. You know, the problem with things like porn or affairs or loose living, the problem... I was listening to one counselor talk on this once. The problem, he said, it isn't that you've gone too far. It's that you haven't gone far enough. It's like you've settled for way less than God's intention because the Creator tied all that to your heart and your mind and your soul. So your sex is tied to your humanity, to a deep, profound love and commitment found in your Creator. And all the nonsense, what we get tied up in, is a lie. It's a lie. God God isn't holding out on you. He isn't holding out on you. There's this idea that, oh, you're going to be, I've heard people who weren't Christian talk about, oh man, if you become a Christian, you can't have any fun anymore. No, actually, you can have more fun. More fun. But deep anchored fun. Deep anchored meaning. Because the rest is meaningless. It's chasing after vapor. God is inviting us into more all the time. When I've done a lot of weddings, a lot of times I talk about, at a wedding, I say, God's love is like an ocean. And he invites us to take a plunge, dive into the depth of his love. But most people settle for going knee deep. You know, that's where when we go after the basis of sexual experiences, when we go after our own selfish interest, we end up knee deep in God's love, if that, barely breaking the surface. And God is saying, man, you don't understand love. You haven't gone deep. You haven't taken the plunge. The Creator invites you into the depth of love. And the teacher has learned that the hard way. So delight in God and then delight elsewhere. Those two go hand in hand. God's will and my will then aren't at odds. I live my life with thy will be done, and somehow I'm in sync with that. And it somehow brings life. And then only then will my deepest desires be satisfied. It will not be satisfied apart from that. Guaranteed. So often when we have choices and decisions to make, we focus on the choices and decisions. I get that. That's very human. But we fail to focus on God in those moments. The God who made us. The God who defines what life looks like. When we draw near to God, decisions will become clearer. Not always easy, but clearer. God has given us all kinds of wonderful desires. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to sin. Well, that's good. But we can do a little better than that. It's just about abstaining from evil. It's about embracing life. Right? God is saying, yeah, I don't want you to do that because there's no life there. Even though you think there is. The teacher tried all that. There's no life there. Here's life. I want you to have it. As Jesus says, life in all its fullness. Don't settle for this. You can have this. You can have this. Life on the Creator's terms. Life on the life maker's terms. The teacher learned that the hard way. I think probably we all do sometime. The equation's quite simple. Enjoy God, enjoy life. They go together. If you're going to enjoy life apart from enjoying God, it ain't going to go well. And then the writer quickly goes to, and remember, pretty soon you're going to die. Oh, okay. And it's true, isn't it? Right? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. We see him jumping in on chapter 12 there. Remember your Creator. Then enjoy work, play, sex, learning, serving, mission. Remember your Creator. Pursue your life with zeal and with passion. But first, remember and delight in your God. And he says very clearly here, and yes, the Lord will hold you to account. Why, because he likes judging? No, because he dislikes what isn't life. That's what's going on here. He dislikes what doesn't work for life. So yes, he judges emptiness. He's paying attention when you live for him and you live for righteousness. He sees that. And he also sees when you choose to live self-centeredness and emptiness. And it gets you nowhere. So God's not saying, yeah, I just want to put X's beside your name. No, that's not the point. I want you to have life. Sometimes we forget our Creator. Sometimes we forget the one who defines life. those of you who are young, God has given you dreams and passions to pursue. Lots of them. Beautiful dreams and passions. Maybe you don't know what they are yet, or what to do with them. Let me encourage you this. Start with getting to know your Creator, getting to know your Designer, the one who made you, the one who created you with His purposes. Love Him. Allow Him to help you unleash those passions as He desires you to, as He created you to. And then you pray. And then you read your Bible. You read the story of God's activity in the world, and you see the story of the gospel unfolding. Now, too, in your life, build life on the Creator's terms, because that's life. The world around you is going to tell you one profoundly deep lie, and it's this. It's all up to you. It's all up to you. And that's a lie. Let me start with this. You make a lousy God. You make a lousy God. You're pretty awesome, but you make a lousy God. The one true God made you. He filled you with wonderful gifts, amazing potential. Know Him and allow Him to reveal who you really are. You know, we live in a culture that keeps saying, you define you. No, you discover you. It is revelation. It is revelation. And then it's joy-filled living. Here's the irony. We read in verse 10, where banish anxiety from your heart. Isn't that fascinating? This is Ecclesiastes, way back in the Old Testament, and they're talking about anxiety. You know, I kind of thought we started that, right? You know, you hear everything about anxiety. During this time, the writer's talking about anxiety. Banish anxiety from your heart. That's been a problem for a long time, anxiety, depression, as Solomon's, or if it's Solomon, says, there's nothing new under the sun. To me, nothing creates, I wrestle with anxiety sometimes, especially a certain period of my life. Nothing creates anxiety for me like the thought that it's all up to me. If I think it's all up to me to figure it all out, my anxiety is through the roof. I don't like that thought at all, because that thought is telling me you better play God's role. And nothing settles me like knowing Almighty God is in charge, and He loves me, and He wants what's best for me. That settles me way down. And I battle between those two worlds sometimes. I'm not proud of that, but it's true. Enjoy God. Draw near to Him as He draws near to you. Allow Him to fill you with His presence, with His power, with His purposes. That doesn't mean it's always easy, but it's all about where you place your focus. On your strength, or lack thereof, or on your Creator, the one you're supposed to remember, the one who knows. Remember your Creator before you get old. How many of you are getting older? How many of you are feeling like you're getting older? Yeah, right? You kind of say, well, when did that start to hurt? You know, where did that gray hair, white hair come from? When did it get hard to get up? Remember your Creator in the days of youth, because if you don't, when you're young, then you'll tend to take for granted good health. Like it's always going to be that way. And let me tell you, young people, it's not. It's not always going to be that way. Enjoy it. Take care of it. Don't take it for granted, because it's going to go. Too many forget that. And then their health disappears without even a fight. You know, we ought to be fighting for good health. It's a diminishing commodity. The teacher did forget a lot of things, and it did Boston. And then life felt empty and it felt meaningless. And he says, don't make the same mistakes I did. And I see myself in the teacher in this moment here, you know, where he's talking to those younger. And I see my grandkids in this equation here. He's talking to those younger and he says, learn from my stupidity and foolishness. Please. Bring some value to my stupidity, please. Please, young people, remember your Creator. Don't try life without Him. I did. It doesn't work. I've tried that. It's an empty journey. It doesn't go anywhere. And remember, you're going to get old. And all that stuff thought anchored your life and shaped your identity. It's all going to go. All of it. Every bit of it. It's all going to go. Accept your Creator and your eternal self. It struck me, you know, we start out with diapers and being fed. And when we get old, same thing, but not nearly as cute. So, yeah. And then the teacher lists reasons why it's tough being old. And don't read, you know, when we read this, don't read it like you see some old folk, and I think we who are getting older are going to be careful of that, where everybody gets together and gives a litany of what's wrong with them, right? He's not doing that, right? He's not saying, oh, man, my elbow, oh, man, my knee, oh, man, my, you know. He's not listing all these things. What he's doing is he's warning younger people, listen, this is the process. This is the process. You know, he talks about the keepers trembling. You can read it again, right? He's referring to legs and arms. You know, you're shaking. Your legs aren't holding you up very well. You're no longer nimble. He talks about strong men's, you know, stumbling and stooping. Yeah. You know. I remember being in a senior's home and visiting an old guy. And, you know, he had, you know, we're going through some of his stuff. And he had little newspaper articles about him winning some significant athletic events. And you looked at it, that guy and say, this guy? Yeah, that guy. And it's going to be this guy too. Right? You know, the grinders cease, right? You're losing your teeth. Should have ate more corn on the cob and steaks. Right? That's what should have happened. I'm going to make sure I do that. The windows grow dim. Right? Your eyesight is going down. It's weakening. You know, my wife and I spend a significant amount of time looking for reading glasses. And we got about 10 in the house. And they're around. I think we need the reading glasses to find the reading glasses. I think that's what's going on. You know, he talked about birds waking you up. I'm sure it's crows. And then he said, well, sleep in. I can't. It's those birds. But then he talks about birds again. But I don't hear bird songs. So yeah, I hear the crows, but I don't hear the beautiful songs anymore. That's a lousy trade-off, isn't it? And I'm amazed at how many of my friends, you know, me included, have hearing aids now. Right? My kids were bugging me for years. I watch these commercials on hearing aids and say, do you think everybody's mumbling? Oh, they were. Right? Yeah, you know, I wasn't being honest about my loss of hearing and needed hearing aids, and it made a difference here. But yeah, you know, the hearing isn't working as well. You're afraid of heights. Yeah? You don't want to fall. Right? I look at my gutters and I go, I don't know. They're not that full of leaves. Right? You become afraid of danger. I see that. I saw that in my parents. You know, I saw danger everywhere. They stay in the house. Anchor down where it's safe. Right? One that hit me personally, the almond tree blossoms. You might say, well, what's that all about? The almond tree turns white. Yeah, there we go. Here's the almond tree. Right? You know, and he's not saying this again. He says, you drag yourself along. And then he hits this one. You know, and desire no longer stirs. Ooh. Desire no longer stirs. This is pre-Viagra. What he's saying is everything. everything goes. Everything. Except your Creator. Everything goes. And then we die. We go to our eternal home. He talks about mourners. You have a funeral. So remember him, young people. Remember him, the eternal one, before you die, before your spirit returns to the God it will return to. Don't forget the eternal one every day of your life. He's the only one that is worth anchoring meaning to. He's the only one that is not a vapor that's going to disappear. So enjoy life. And remember the eternal. You know, and I hear, and I can feel his passion here, because I feel it in myself too. You know, where he, there's his grandkids sitting next to him. And he said, hear me, grandchildren. Remember your Creator. Remember him. Please, please remember him. Sons and daughters, please listen to your old messed up dad. Listen, please. Remember him. Remember your Creator. And I hear him saying, don't follow me. Follow him. Follow him. So, yeah, young people, enjoy that steak or that food, whatever you like. Play that game, that sport with vigor. Play to win. Enjoy your spouse. What a beautiful thing. Work hard, play hard, because the days are few and they go fast. Remember the point of it all. You are created. And the life giver tells you how you're supposed to live. Not supposed to, but how life actually works. And they are loved by that Creator. And when you, like the teacher, go off on your own, trying to find meaning outside of the Creator, because at times you will, because we all do sometime, own it and repent. Repent of what? Well, lots of things, but I would say repent of arrogance, for a starter. When you live life like you're in charge, like you know, like you figured it out. Well, God, let me tell you how it goes, because I figured it out. No, the Creator gave you life. He knows how it works, and you need to follow him. And when you go out on your own, repent of it. You know, this whole book of Ecclesiastes in many ways is a confession. I mean, he names his sins. I did this, chasing after this, I chased after this, I chased after this, I chased after this. Guess what? It was meaningless. It was empty. Don't do that. He repents. And you and I will have to, time and time again too, where we try to find meaning outside of the Creator's definition and creation of life. The Creator who sent his only Son to die for you. The Creator whose only Son rose from the dead. The one who forgives you and he draws near to you. The Creator who empowers you to live by his Holy Spirit with passion and zeal and joy, with an eternal perspective. Remember Jesus. Remember your Lord. Trust in him. Trust in his grace. Trust in his love. A love that is forever. And then, yeah, enjoy our life. It's a gift. And live in the security and the sureness and the fullness of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, Lord. And we thank you that you are the author of life. Lord, what a gift life is. You've given us so much to be grateful for. We look around us at the beauty of creation. We look around us at the magnificence of how you created our bodies and how life is. And Lord, the beauty of just so many things. Great food and, you know, love and relationships and sports and work and all those things. Lord, all are gifts from you. You invite us to use our God-given gifts and our talents and our abilities to find service and to find joy in you. So, Lord, I pray that each of us here will remember you Those of us who are young, Lord, I pray that we will remember while we're young, when there's a tendency sometimes to try to go on our own terms. But yeah, when we get older, we still try to do that sometimes. Lord, when we do, help us to repent. Help us to throw that in front of you and say, Lord, forgive us for trying to define life on our own terms again. May we surrender our lives to you and then find, ironically, that we find life. Lord, we praise you for being an amazing God. We love you, and best of all, you love us. We praise your great and holy name now and forever, the eternal God who makes us eternal. Amen.